Blog Talk Radio. River Nile, available on Amazon. Thank you, Nazim Rashid, for sharing that great music with us. Nazim is also on the board of White Apple Institute, a sponsor for the Student to Teacher Show. Welcome. Welcome, 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 all of you. Gosh, it's such a great day. It is such a great day. It's a great day if you choose for it to be a great day. And that's about it. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. It really doesn't, because there are things out there that are going to be there that you cannot change, and there are going to be things that you can change. The things that you can't change, you can't do anything about, so you might as well just relax with it. Make a choice. Make a choice to make this a good day. Make a choice to make this a day where you try your best to overcome the pain and suffering of the things that are going on around your world. And around our world. This is Dr. Danita Applewhite. And I'm coming to you live from Arizona. That's right. Beautiful Mesa, Arizona. Not too far from Phoenix and Scottsdale. Really, really great place to live. I tell you, they should give me kudos from the Tourism Bureau. Every time I go on the radio, I'm always talking about how great it is to live in Arizona. So what are we talking about today? I have a relationship with you. I have a relationship with you as a listener on this show. My responsibility in this relationship is that I give you something. I share something with you. Okay? I share something with you that I've learned. That makes me a student and a teacher. It makes you one, too. If you've ever wanted to learn something, and you know you do. You've desired it. You say, wow, that's fantastic. I want to know more. I want to know more. And then you take that information and you share it with someone else. That makes you a student to teacher. And for those of you who gain the knowledge and don't want to share it, that's okay. You will eventually. Somehow, some way, in your actions, your behavior, the way you speak to people, will be an acknowledgement of the things that you've learned. You don't have to be in an academic setting to necessarily be a student. Education is not just behind the walls of an institution. It is in your home. It's in your church. It's in your community that we all learn. So open up your eyes and acknowledge your environment and learn as much as you can from this show, from your life, from your interactions with others today. Become a true student and then share what you've learned with others to become the teacher. When the student is ready, the teacher within you will appear. I promise. So let's get started. Let's talk about this relationship thing. I have a relationship with you. That means I want to do something. I want to have some kind of interaction with you. And my choice, hopefully, my choice of having a relationship with you is based on what I want to share and what I want to receive from you. So it's a give and take thing. And that's what all relationships are. Do relationships impact us in a way that it can inhibit our school and work success? You see, you know, that's what we focus on, especially at White Apple Institute. We focus on what are the things that hinder students and teachers from performing in what they call success. Performing in what they call a successful way. What hinders that? And it can be a number of psychosocial issues that happen that people just don't think about very much. And that's why we bring them out. Because I've been doing this for a long time. I don't even want to tell you, but over 35 years. And I'll tell you, there's so many different issues that come across that stop people from succeeding at work and school that have really very little to do with tuition expenses and salary. They have to do with the interpersonal skills, the relationships that people have in their home, with their family, with their lovers, their husbands, wives. Those are the things that can impact us and make it very, very difficult for us to succeed. Sometimes we land up going to work or to school with all kinds of heavy burdens on us, and we can't seem to shake them, and it seems to impact, negatively impact, the way we perform. Do you know anyone who drops out of school or work, just drops out because of a bad relationship, because things are not going well with your family, their mother, father, family members, or significant others, those we have intimate relationships with, and they just give up. They become so overwhelmed with depression, mood swings, anxiety, that it's hard for them to function appropriately. And so that is what we have to come in contact with, is how these relationships impact us and how we can help others who seem to drop out of school and work because of the way they're handling the relationship. Maybe they don't know how to do that. The perception we hold about our relationships with others is what really makes a negative or positive impact on our school and work life. Now, and I want you to go back for a minute, and for those of you that take notes, and I know you do because some of you write in, and by the way, the chat room is open for those of you who do not want to get on the immediate line and call in. Feel free to go to the chat room on your computer if you're on the computer listening to the show this morning and put in any questions or comments you have about the show. But perception is what I'd like all of you to write down, perception, right? Because it's the way we perceive, the way we see things that makes a difference in the way we allow our relationships to impact our school and work life. And like I said earlier, there's much more to school and work success than financial issues, even though financial issues do seem to be the most paramount reason. You know, everybody says, I didn't have the money to go back, or I have overwhelming student loans, or I don't want to, push myself into this job promotion because I'm afraid of failing. There's all kinds of different reasons why we don't want to move forward in a job. But relationships, we're gonna focus on that this morning. And we're also going to talk about how students and teachers, all of you out there, must recognize the signs of anxiety and depression and explore the causes in all areas of your life. So as you're joining me this morning, I do want to say to you that there's going to be a couple of things that we're going to close with today. I'm going to talk about how we can understand the warning signs of a relationship, a bad relationship. And also some tips on how we can overcome them. So hang in there with me. Hang in there with us. There's a lot of people on the switchboard this morning, hopefully waiting to share their comments, questions, share their knowledge as students and teachers out there. We also have some news for our veterans out there. And we have a special guest today that's going to talk to us about advocacy for people who have disabilities. And that just about covers everyone in the world, doesn't it? Uh-oh. Did I step on someone's toes by saying that? How about the person who says, I don't have a disability? But we're all differently abled. There are always things that we can find that we can't seem to do within the context of what's expected of us. And so we find different ways to express our abilities. And so this show is for you. This show helps people that recognize their dis in their ability or those who don't. This show helps you to grow. And disability does not necessarily, I'm really trying to hopefully move people away from thinking of disability as just the wheelchair. There are so many non-visible disabilities that we need to address, from diabetes to cancer to irritable bowel syndrome to anxiety and depression, mental health issues that you don't see when you look at a person. But they're dealing with that and trying to go to school and trying to go to work and trying to make something out of their lives, moving forward every day. And White Apple Institute, our sponsor, provides programs, resources, and services to support them doing that. So make sure that you go onto the website at whiteappleinstitute.org, click that donate button, and help us to continue the mission. Well, without further ado, let's go over some of the things about who we're really talking about here. We're talking about those that are having problems with going to school and work and having these relationships that pull them back. So whether it's you that's having that or you know someone that's having that, this information is still valuable, so valuable to you, that hold it in your archives, okay? Save it in the computer, in your brain, in your memory banks, so that somehow, some way, believe it, there will be someone that you can share this information with later on down the road. So, you know, I've had a student once who went through a tremendous training program with a bank and took months to get through the personal development portion of that, learning how to dress, groom, talk, you know, communicate, the whole bit. And had two or three children, I can't remember exactly. And she went through this program, did a tremendous job in her internship and her training, got into the bank. And within 2 months of a wonderful job she had dreamed of, she walked off. Why did she walk off? Because she had a bad relationship with her supervisor. And her assumption, her perception, here, go back to that word perception, her perception was that the supervisor was a racist and against her. And she was also having relationship problems with her boyfriend, one of the children's father. And so with that came an explosion for her that made her walk off of her dream job. Now, I've got plenty of stories like that. How can we help people not to change your perception, basically, about where they're at in the present moment so that they don't drop out? Because dropping out always requires that we've got to roll up those sleeves and come back again anyway. Let's do some prevention stuff. So let's look at some of the so-called warning signs that you're losing yourself. How do we know? Well, one of the ways that we can identify when we're when our relationships are harming us, and this could be, again, with parents, with family members, or with that significant other in your life, is that you begin to start putting your life plans on hold a little bit. One of the things that I always encourage students to do is to make sure that the partners that you choose to be in a relationship with is someone that is either on your same level of understanding about why you're doing what you're doing. Not necessarily that you have to have a college degree and they have to have a college degree, but definitely on the same level where you're both communicating and able to support each other. But if you find yourself putting your own plans on hold in your life, then that's something that you need to look at as a warning sign. If you find that even with a family member, a parent, now I'm not talking about someone who is ill. I'm not talking about taking care of a parent, because those are extreme circumstances. But sometimes we have parents that can be overbearing and demanding, whether they're ill or not. And it can impact the way we succeed at work and school. So we must be careful of how much of our life we're putting on hold. Another warning could be that we start giving up on things. The things that are really important to us. You know, even socialization with our friends, people that were very supportive at one time in our life, and then all of a sudden we don't want to be around them anymore. Maybe because they don't like the person that we're with, or they're not happy with the way that we're living our lives. And sometimes that can lead to depression. Another way, another warning that we might want to look at is, oh, this is a famous one, not really doing what you want to do. You know, in my classrooms, many times I have asked students to identify the kind of movies that they really like to see. And sometimes they say, well, I don't know, I like all types of movies, or I like all kinds of music. And so I kind of help them define how do you look at what you really like to do. Don't think about the last movie you saw that you went to see because somebody else wanted you to go see it. Think about what you really like to do. And then if you find yourself always complying and bending to the other person's will, this is a definite warning sign that you're allowing the relationship you have with that person to impact your pleasure, to impact your happiness. It could be just as simple as sitting there and watching a television and another person comes into the room and changes the channel. And you were very engrossed in the program. And you don't say anything. That's an indication right there. Maybe you're not taking care of you and your needs and the things that you really want to do. Another one that's really, really famous is blowing off friends. Blowing off friends and family. Just recently I heard about one of the people that have been in association with White Apple Institute for quite a while who unfortunately was found expired. She is dead. And one of the things that came out in that situation is that she had been involved with people that had pulled her away from her family and consequently pulled her away from school and work. And so when we when we see that happening, we see people doing that, we need to help them to understand, even if it doesn't have to be a cult or anything like that, but just anything that pulls you away from your friends and family that prior to the relationship, you were having a pretty secure and happy relationship with them, and then all of a sudden, you're not there anymore. That's what I'm talking about. And the most important thing is you start developing some very, very bad habits because of your relationship. One of them is gaining weight, bad eating habits, drinking too much, developing prejudices that you never had before, not feeling good about yourself, not feeling secure about yourself. So these are some of the warning signs, and we'd like to hear a little bit from our audience this morning. And I do want to tell you, we have a special guest. I think I did mention that earlier. That's going to come on the show. Her name is Mary Hartman Smith. And Mary is with the Arizona Bridge to Independent Living, and she is an advocate. And she's going to come up with some tips on advocacy. So make sure you stay tuned for that. She'll be coming in and talking to us because we're gonna hint a little bit around abusive relationships and how to handle that. So we have a few people online. We'll see if there's anyone that has any comments. We have a 438. Good morning. How are you? This is Dr. Applewhite. Good morning, 438. Good morning, 363. This is Dr. Applewhite. Good morning, 363.
Oh, good morning, number. Dr. Applewhite. This
morning.
Is Consuelo Stetti, and I apologize.
Good morning.
I just tuned in, and I would like to hear a little bit more of the today's theme.
Sure, sure. I'd love for you to have some comments on that. We'll come back to you a little later, okay?
Thank you. Right.
And this is a 928. Good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite. How are you, 928? Good morning. Okay. And we have a 226 here. Good morning, Dr. Applewhite.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. This sounds like a familiar voice. Is that my dad calling in this morning on the student to teacher radio show?
Sometimes I wonder how the voice gets mixed up. Yes, this happened to be your father.
Well, lots of love to you. Well, thank you for supporting. Yeah, isn't that nice when we have parents that support us? Yes. All right. Any comments on relationships?
I'm just listening today.
All right. Thank you so much, Dad. All right. Boy, that makes me happy. It's another happy moment for me right there. We have a 733 online. Good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite. Good morning, 733. Okay. And do we have anybody on chat? Yes, we do. And thank you for your comments. Okay. We're ready to continue to move on to the show. Anybody with any comments, please feel free to just say hello. I've got something I need to say here, okay? And good morning. We have a 471 number.
Good morning.
We've got lots of people online this morning. Good morning. Anything that you wanted to say about relationships that impact school and work performance?
Not at this time, but
right.
I really like the episode today. I really,
yes,
really do.
And feel free, anyone that has a story about someone that you may know who has dropped out of school and work because of having a bad relationship, that's given up on the things that they like to do, who have ignored family relationships, who have started to do things that make them unhappy, make sure you mute your phone so that we don't have background noise. So I keep this open so that we can do this as a group discussion. And that's a new way of thought on the Student Teacher Radio Show. We still have some background noise, and I hope that whoever is on there, I have to mute everyone on the switchboard. So I appreciate you making sure that you don't have your microphone open. Okay? All right, well, let's go into how we can, my friends, how we can look at overcoming some of these things. You know, I mean, we've got these warning signs, and we know what they are. And I believe, am I right, that we have an agreement that relationships do impact school of work performance? Do we have that from our listening audience out there? Is there anyone that disagrees with that? Say yes or no for me.
No, I don't disagree.
Does everyone agree?
I agree.
Yes, that relationships can impact school and work performance.
Yes, they can.
Absolutely. And so I'd like to, if you can, go back in your memory and see if you can give us some examples, some stories that may indeed help other people that are listening out there. We have, over 46,000 listeners, so I'm sure that there are a number of people out there that are concerned about what we're going to say this morning and how they can help to overcome some of these things that are going on.
Well, I know when I was, I had an aunt whose husband was very jealous, and she was unable to work. She had to quit her job because he would be sitting in the parking lot watching her because he thought she was cheating. So she had to quit her job, and it was a miserable, I know, like at least 15 years she went through this.
Yes. That can be, the relationship, especially if it's an intimate relationship, it can be make the most powerful impact, negative impact, on how we succeed at work. And so many people lose their jobs because the boss, that behavior on the job, well, it's going to get you, you're going to lose your job.
Yes.
The boss sees how overwhelmed you are, your level of anxiety, your depression. Other coworkers see it. You begin to start taking down, your morale is already down. And then it's like a viral effect. And it can affect everyone, all of your coworkers that are around you. In addition to your family, your children are affected. I have a teacher right now who's dealing with the fact of going through a divorce. And, of course, she has done everything that she can. I'll call her Mrs. B. She's done everything that she can to avoid not letting that impact the way she teaches in her classroom. But, unfortunately, she has come down to a point where she has stopped going into the lunchroom, dealing with other staff members. She's trying to isolate herself, not only at work, but on her job. And the depression that she's feeling from her home life is beginning to now spill over in the way she's interacting with her students. And she's contacting us for some counseling, some advice on what to do. So you see, we have to be very, very careful. I know that all of us that are conscious of it try our best not to allow our personal lives to interfere with what we're doing, especially if we're impacting the lives of other people. You know, nurses, doctors, those that take care of other people, caregivers that take care of other people, are always, I'm sure, I give you my best kudos, doing your best not to let your personal life interfere, but it does sometimes. So how do you address that? How do you overcome that is the key. How do you let go? Well, there's a lot of different ways we can do that. One of them is to understand ourselves. Think of yourself with forgiveness. Forgiving yourself, and when you can start to do that, to truly forgive yourself, and acknowledging that there's some part of you that's responsible for the way the communication is going in your relationship. Not that you've caused whatever happened in the relationship. Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. But whatever, your communication in that relationship is something that you can change. You can always change the way that you interact with people by changing the way you communicate with them. And we have this ability to go into, ways that we can override heartache and keep on going. even though we're disappointed in our relationships or whatever, there's a way that we can look at ourselves and imagine putting ourselves back into the situation again that started this and beginning to work out ways of how we would react differently. Now, that's hard because all of us have selective memory that's always in our favor, isn't it? Selective memory of, I know what you did, okay? I know what you did to make this bad. I know what you did, mom or sister, to make me feel this way. But we don't remember what we may have said or how we may have acted towards the other person. So it's important that we really get in touch with ourselves. Any comments?
Yeah, Dr. Apple, I was speaking about my aunt earlier, but, you know, it took her 15 years because she was afraid of her husband to finally divorce and get strong enough. And it takes a lot of women out there because they're so scared of their husband. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Domestic abuse is truly an issue here. I can tell you most assuredly that I have been in the classroom. My heart has just broke when I saw this gentleman come into the classroom. I'll call him, this man came into the classroom. He was not gentle and actually pulled his wife out of my class and said she had to come home. She was not going to continue to be in school because she wasn't able to fix his dinner the way he wanted it done. And unfortunately, it was a very violent situation of actually pulling her out of the classroom by her hair. So I definitely can relate to the fact that when we talk about domestic abuse and what to do, especially in circumstances like that where women or men are trying to succeed at work or school and they have a partner that is not supportive or a family member that's not supportive, it can be truly detrimental. And so there are ways to advocate for that. And I'm going to let Mary Harwell Smith, when she comes on, maybe we can talk a little bit about advocacy on that particular level. But thank you for bringing that to the forefront for us.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Anyone can feel free to
Dr. Applegate?
Yes.
Dr. Applegate.
Applewhite.
Applewhite. Sorry. I knew I would do that. This is Mary Hartle Smith.
Oh, yes, Mary. Yes, thank you, Mary Hartle Smith. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me to be on the show with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I hope in just a moment we're going to be able to get some of the feedback from you if you have anything that you can share about how, especially a person with a disability, because when we're talking about relationships that impact school and work, Mary, we're also talking about the fact that it's truly exacerbated beyond measure when you're dealing with disability from a mental health perspective, especially. Okay, to even a physical disability, where especially if it's stress-related, this can truly impact the way we perform, go after looking for a job, keeping a job, or succeeding in a job. So those three things I'd really like to come back to, and if you have any tips for us on advocacy in those areas of domestic abuse or abuse in any manner, I'd like you to share that with us. I'm going to finish up with just a few more things of how we can deal with the overwhelming aspects of how to let go of these relationships. And one of them I just mentioned just now, like I said, is forgiving yourself and getting in touch with yourself. And another one is knowing that it's not your fault in particular. And going back to the young lady who spoke about her aunt and the jealous husband. Or did you say she was jealous?
No. It was my uncle, her husband. He was very jealous.
He was jealous.
Uh-huh. Yes. She would have like 20 minutes to go get groceries, or he would take her, sit in the car, and wait for her at at work, or watch who she took her lunch with and stuff.
Right.
It took a lot of effect on my cousin, you know.
Very hard to break a destructive cycle like that. That's what it becomes, a very destructive cycle.
But now I see one of my aunt's sons. He's the same way now. It's like, you know, maybe not as bad as his father was, but I see it with his wife
now. We can see the definitely that children model the behavior that they see, not necessarily that they hear you saying not to do, but what they see you doing. And so what he's done is he's picked up that destructive cycle that he saw all of his life. And it is hard to break it, but it can be broken, because we can stop just for a moment torturing ourselves about what we didn't do, regretting what we didn't do. And we can come back around to really accepting the fact that it's not necessarily our fault of how another person acts. That's their stuff. Our stuff is to change the way that we react to them. And it's always easy to dwell on the things that have hurt us, okay? And always looking at, you know, what happened, why it happened, and we can just take our whole lives. We're in school and we're trying to take a test, and the grieving in the relationship just makes it so impossible, it seems, to succeed, to feel okay. But we can end that. We have the ability within us to end that type of grieving and move forward in our lives. What we have to do is focus on this one thing, the present moment. The present moment, you're at school, the present moment, you're trying to get that job, you have a job interview coming up. Oh, gosh, I just had that circumstance happen with a student, but a job interview coming up. And unfortunately, a relationship issue hindered her from going to that job interview. We have to be, and truly, strong enough not to dwell on the thing that is impacting us at home and go forward, do what we have to do, and then use some techniques. And there are more techniques. I mean, you know, we only have an hour on this show, so there's a lot more things that you can do to overcome these negative relationships. And, of course, just contact WhiteAppleInstitute.org, and we will be able to set you up for some counseling sessions. We have a membership package, and we'll be able to get some counseling for those that need it. Here's another thing I want you to remember, too. All of us have an idea of what we'd like someone to be in our lives. We all have that. We have expectations of the way we want to see our parents react to us, our other family members, and certainly our significant others. And it's worse even. It worsens when we're dealing with even same-sex relationships, because then you have the pressure, societal pressure, in addition to all the other things that are going on. But I always say, if you lower your expectations, you truly lower your disappointment level. If you have no expectations, you have no disappointment. But we all have expectations. Let's be real. So you have to kind of find in that relationship realistic expectations of an individual and looking at them the way they are, not the way we want them to be. Let me move on here because I don't want to run out of time here. I want to get all of these things out, just making sure you're placing emotions in the right way. And sometimes we have to make sure that we accept that our choice in the relationship that we have may be the reason why the relationship has gone sour. That's a hard one. That's a hard one for anyone to take, is that maybe we knew deep down inside of ourselves that this was not the person that we needed to be with. Sometimes the relationship on the job itself with the supervisor, with a coworker, can make us quit. Are we in some way going to take responsibility for the fact that it is our own issues that are causing the relationship to go south? Okay? Anyway, I'm going to have to stop here because I really want to give Mary Hartle Smith some time to go over advocacy. And this is part one of three. Next week, we have a very, very special guest, Dr. Rachel Rock, a psychologist, medical doctor, family practitioner, who will be coming on and talking more about intimacy and relationships and how they impact us. But for right now, let's go back to Mary Hartle Smith. And Mary, would you give us some idea, tell us a little bit about your advocacy work first, if you don't mind.
Well, thank you, Dr. Applewhite. And I guess to start, my advocacy is in several areas. I have several disabilities myself. I'm have a combined hearing and vision loss. So I'm deafblind, although I can mm-hmm. hear some. And then I have a mental illness. And I have a physical disability of fibromyalgia. So I have a lot of areas to be doing advocacy in. And
wow,
the advocacy
and it sounds
I do,
like...
Pardon me?
It sounds like all of the disabilities that you're talking about are not ones that you see automatically when you address you, when you come into your
right.
Presence.
Mostly what people see is my blindness in a white cane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they think, oh, I'm just blind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even see my hearing aids, even though they're behind-the-ear type of hearing aids. But I work in advocacy in policy issues to help develop programs that assist like people who are deafblind in being more independent and living more productive lives and being part of the community instead of isolated, because deafblindness is a very isolating disability.
Absolutely. So is mental illness, of course. Yes.
And mental illness is another very isolating disability.
Uh-huh.
And I'm involved with speaking out about the truth of about mental illness, and that most of us are, if anything, victims of crimes rather than perpetrators of crimes. Only a small percentage of people with mental illness have, you know, violent issues. So most people with mental illness tend to have issues with self-confidence, self-esteem, trust issues. One area of work is called self-advocacy, where a person learns to advocate for themselves to get their needs met and to get their rights recognized. And I have to work on that with myself, and I go to counseling myself. And it's a, you know, a constant issue to...
Mary, I can assure you, let me assure you something, that I myself are continually working on issues in my life. And I can tell you that the psychologists that I know, including myself, are always on an ongoing journey to do that. And if they're not, then that's something that they really need to look deeply into. So we appreciate you sharing that, but I want you to understand that you're not alone.
Well, thank you.
We all need to learn how to self-advocate, not just for those that recognize that we may have a disability, even if it's just fibromyalgia, a tiredness, chronic fatigue at work. We need to recognize that we need to learn how to advocate for ourselves. And one of the things that I hear, correct me if I'm wrong, is that you've explored, you know what your so-called illnesses are, your dis in your abilities. And you have found a way to look at how you can still succeed and do the things that you're doing by teaching others. Gosh, kudos to you.
Right.
You have found your different abilities, and that's what we look at.
And I also am, there's more effort to encourage people with mental illness to take the journey to recovery from
mm-hmm.
mental illness and from the symptoms of mental illness. And one of my mental illnesses is post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes.
And so I have a ton of anxiety, and I'm constantly having to try to do positive self-talk to tell myself that, you know, the whole world isn't going to blow up in a minute.
Mary, one of the things that we, unfortunately, there's two items that came up when I heard your statement just now. One is that many people are not aware that when we talk about mental illness, we're not necessarily talking about severe schizophrenic mental illness. That is very severe, but I've had students graduate with great degrees and go on and do wonderful things with a diagnosis of schizophrenia. So, but we're also talking about depression and anxiety, and that's part of the mental illness category. And so I wanted our listeners out there to really make sure that they are able to define that clearly. And another issue is that you have overcome it, and you're talking about, and when I say overcome it, not necessarily that it goes away, but you found ways to work around it. And I hope that you'll come back on the show on a regular basis and share more with our listeners about how to do that. What is self-advocacy?
Well, self-advocacy is simply advocating for yourself, standing up for what you believe in, for standing up and asking for your needs to be met. A simple example can be if you have a hearing loss and you can't hear the person that is speaking, you can say, would you please speak a little louder or speak a little slower or use different words so that then you're letting them know that you can't hear them and they need to adjust how they're speaking to you so that you can hear better. So that's a little example of how you can speak up for yourself. Another issue, if you're having relationship issues, learn to express your feelings about what the other person you're in relationship with is doing, and saying things like, I feel hurt or angry when you do such and such a thing, and then letting them respond and having a communication, a conversation with them about what your needs are in the relationship and how
wonderful. Let's see if our. I'm sorry, Mary. I didn't mean to cut you off there. Was there something else you were saying at the end there? Okay. All right. I wanted to make sure that in our last 10 minutes of the show, my dear, that we have some comments coming back from our listening audience that's on live broadcast this morning. Any comments from our group out there? Please feel free to share.
Yes. I would like to, this is Consuelo, I would like to say that this is a marvelous way of illustrating the theme of the show that has been going on for so many weeks. And I know it's not the only, it's the only time that this happens, but how wonderful to have this lady, Mary, to come and really explain exactly like, she will be like the model that we are trying to teach and make people understand that it is possible to be able to be productive, happy, to be a possible human being in spite of all the challenges. And so this is a wonderful way of knowing that it can be done, and it is quite an enhancement and asset to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you again for any of the comments. We have a few comments on chat that are basically just kudos for the show and kudos for you, Mary, on our chat discussions. So we really appreciate that people are listening and are getting something from what we're saying today on the show. Any other comments out there on the issue of whether or not you can stand up for yourself? Can you know people that need help in standing up for themselves? Self-advocacy, very good concept to think about. Do you advocate for yourself? Any other comments?
I don't have a comment, Dr. Applewhite, but I would like to know what branch of government policy making institution Mary works or contributes to.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, Mary, can you answer that for us? She works for many, I can tell you that.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the question.
I guess what she's asking, Mary, is what kinds of agencies that you work with. I know that one, the way we met is Arizona Bridge to Independent Living, which is an organization we support totally.
Right. I work as a consumer advocate for ABLE, but that's a volunteer position. And I work on issues related to legislation that affects people with a broad range of disabilities. I also serve on the Governor's Council on Blindness and Visual Impairment. And I chair a committee on deaf blindness issues.
And, my goodness, you're busy.
And I've also been involved with an organization called Partners in Recovery, which is part of, if anyone here in Arizona has heard of Magellan, Magellan Health Services system of services for mental illness. And so I was, I'm not now, but I was past chair of the Consumer Advisory Council at the local Partners in Recovery office. And there we try to encourage people with mental illness to get more actively involved in their own recovery efforts and to get more actively involved in community issues.
You know, Mary, before we leave the show today, there's something really important that I wanted to address. And I need your help with this because I'm getting, just in putting the show, the promotion for the show out there, there have already been more comments about domestic abuse, especially among people with disabilities and how that has impacted their school and work performance. And I was just wondering, you know, we have resources here in Arizona, but we have resources nationwide, and we don't have a lot worldwide, but we're working on that, okay? And where people need to learn how to get in touch more with how what agencies are available to them. And the only way they can do that is start by researching what's available in their own communities. But what would you suggest to someone who's in an abusive type of relationship, whether it's the family member that they're living with or a significant other? What would be the first agency contact or the first thing you could suggest to them?
Well, if you're an adult, such as in Arizona, there's something called Adult Protective Services.
Yes.
And
okay.
That's an agency that's part of the Arizona Department of Economic Security.
Mm-hmm.
And you can contact them, and they can assist with helping to find resources. I believe they could help with finding, like, if you need to get out of the relationship, and I believe if there's physical violence or sexual violence,
uh-huh.
or very deep emotional kinds of
abuse.
That the person should leave the relationship and should, you know, move out physically, because
it's so hard to do that, though, Mary. That's the problem that so many students are having, is that as we move towards trying to get away, and especially if we have a disability, that it makes us dependent on another person. It exacerbates the situation even worse.
Right, right.
And so it's important. Go ahead.
I haven't had direct experience with domestic abuse, and I don't have a lot of experience with people that I know that I have had. But there is... through one of the organizations I work with, the Maricopa Association of Governments, does work on domestic abuse issues.
In other words, what you're saying is that there are resources available, that someone does not have to just settle. Is that right, Mary?
Right.
They don't have to feel stuck.
Right.
I think that's what I hear you saying throughout our whole discussion. That's the most important message that's coming across from you,
okay.
Is that we don't have to be stuck. There are resources, and hopefully going back on those warning signs we talked about earlier, ways that we can address not being so overwhelmed. We thank you so much, Mary, for participating this morning, and hope that you will definitely consider coming back on the show and helping others with self-advocacy issues in different areas of our lives.
Certainly.
Listeners, we appreciate you and wish you so much love and peace. We especially give our kudos out there for our veterans who are doing a marvelous job out there. Not just those that are on the front line fighting, but for those of you who are doing your best to overcome the issues when you come home, of dealing with your own disabilities and finding a job and securing school. Let us help you if we can. Keep tuning into the Student to Teacher radio show. And make sure you go to whiteappleinstitute.org and click on the donation button to keep us going. We wish you again much love and peace as we close the show today with some thoughts. Thoughts of the factor that God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, courage to change things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference. This is Wes Ricks on Two Worlds album, Some Great Loops. Dr. Danita Applewhite signing out. Thank you all for your participation Saturday morning.
I want to
share the show with others.
Wonderful.